the mouth of sour. Puppet drawings of power.
Podcast. Synchronized. Synchronized. Okay, hello and welcome back to the Mouth of Sauron podcast.
Pleasure to be back.
Back once again for the Renegade Podcast Masters D4 Damages Power to the People, eh?
Yeah, here we are, back again. Feels good.
And yeah, but thick and fast now. We took a bit of time off. But now we're trying to get as much content in before the beginning of the show. So, yeah, raising your glass there, Ash. Cheers to that.
Yeah, hey.
Clink, clink.
Let's have a good one. Today, now, we'll get straight into it. So, during the last episode, I did drop a little comment about the merchandise, and in particular, the Echo Dot of Power, which was something I dropped in the last episode, which I think, personally, Amazon would be foolish not to sort of go after here.
Yep, go on. Why? Imagine I'm head of Amazon.
Yep.
Jeff Bezos. Well, not head, but like, you know, marketing department.
Yeah.
Sell me the Echo Dot of Power.
Right, firstly, what you have is you have the flagship show of Amazon Prime, or the new flagship show of Amazon Prime.
Rings of Power.
Rings of Power.
Yep.
Hitting Amazon Prime real soon. Amazon TV. Mm-hmm. Okay.
September 2nd.
Now, probably one of the biggest selling items on Amazon's sort of inventory,
mm-hmm,
I would say, is the Echo Dot. Do you own an Echo Dot?
I own 3 Echo Dots.
Okay. Do you own an Echo Dot?
I personally don't, but I mean, as an average there, we've all got one.
We've all got one. I've got an Echo Dot.
We're above, we're still
above
average.
If I spoke loudly enough now to Alexa, she would probably hear me. Okay?
I'll tell you what, my mum's got one. Does that count?
Right.
There's one in my family.
Great. So I think what they should do is for a limited edition time, and as like a promotion for the show, they should release the Echo Dot of Power, which instead of lighting up in blue, it lights up in orange with elven writing, like the One Ring does, every time you speak to it. And maybe when you speak to it, you're not speaking to Alexa.
Yeah.
You're speaking to
one of the elves.
That, absolutely.
That is in the show.
Absolutely, yeah.
See, when you've mentioned it before, I imagined it as a ring.
Yeah.
Like there's stuff missing in the middle. It's an actual
right.
It's an actual ring.
It's hollowed out.
Yeah, and it would be gold.
Yeah.
What you're talking about, I think, could already happen, couldn't it?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you just change the LED lighting on it. So you change the LED lighting, turn that to orange. In fact, I already think mine turns orange at some point.
Yeah, when you're waiting for a delivery, it is orange.
Yeah, and then instead of, all you do is then you just change it to elven writing, and then as it sort of illuminates, it becomes the Echo Dot of Power.
I mean, I like it just as a visual and as a thing. I think that sometimes when limited editions come out and there's a little play on words or a pun, I'm like, oh, that's fun, because it's very similar. With this, though, the name, the Echo Dot of Power, have you just gone, well, dots and rings are similar? Is that what you've done there? Because the Echo Dot of Power isn't...
Yeah.
That doesn't actually... There's no sentence anywhere.
It's more about the Echo Dot and the way it lights up.
Yeah.
Okay. It lights up in a ring, doesn't it? Whenever you say Alexa.
Yeah, but now it's a different thing, because the Alexas aren't ring; they're dots.
No, the item is a dot.
Yes.
When Alexa is activated.
Yeah.
It becomes a ring.
So the newer dots, they have a screen on the top, rather than just that ring,
right,
which is the version I know.
Well, that's what they talk about with this elven writing.
Then the eye of Sauron sort of appears on that little screen. All they've got to do is just do an update. That's what they've got to do.
The programmer for whoever does Amazon Dots must be like, right, great, now I've got to learn fucking Elvish. and program this into every single command that could possibly happen.
Look, you could jump on Google right now and go, writing in the One Ring, and then it will come up. You just got to use Google Images.
Okay.
But I guess Google and Amazon, they don't really get on do that.
Well, look, should we just watch this space? I mean, Amazon, they might hear this, they might cotton onto this idea and say, do you know what? He's on something, that lad.
I want to know, are you happy for Amazon to take this idea and run with it? Or if they do take it...
If they want to.
If Jeff Bezos is listening and he wants this, are you going to be like annoyed if this comes out or happy that you made...
Well, first of all, I would like to say that, like, of course I would like some sort of...
A tip of the hat.
A tip of the hat or even just some sort of... Like, I'd like one. If they made it, send me one. Or give me a little, like, you know... The idea has been generated.
What about if they said, do you know what? We'll have all the rights to your idea there. Yeah. It's us. You don't get a penny out of this. Okay? This is all us. When you sign this contract, you're handing over everything to us.
Yeah.
But you get to see the whole season before anyone's even seen one episode of The Rings of Power. That's your payoff. Would you accept?
Nah, because I don't want to be out there on my own watching it. I'd rather watch it with people and have the same experience. I feel I would be missing out on that journey.
Yeah.
So I don't think I would sign that.
Right, okay.
I don't think I could sign up to that. Because,
but not because you've got an issue with handing over all of your intellectual rights. Yeah, it's actually because you would feel lonely having seen it all already.
Yeah, what else comes from that is that you've seen everything.
Yeah.
Two, nobody wants any spoilers, so you're just going to know everything and then be like, oh my God, I can't talk to anybody for the next...
He's right. What a curse it would be to be the only man in the world that's seen all of Lord of the Rings.
And three, like, I don't think anybody would want to talk to me because they'd be like, well, anything.
Just in case you... Yeah, but don't say
that. Yeah. So, no, it would be a curse. But anyway, I think the reason we talk about this is because this is an area of the Rings of Power that I've been very excited about.
Okay.
And not just the Echo Dot of Power, which I think obviously is an incredible idea. But with that...
If you do say so yourself.
If I do say so myself, I do think it's an incredible idea. But with that, the wider merchandise that could be hitting the shelves, could be hitting the high street.
Now, DJ, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think it's worth pointing out here that you are a merchandise guy. You've been called the ultimate consumer before.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about merchandise, it's really from where a lot of your passion for different series and universes, you know, that's where it lies, isn't it? How else can I engage with this through buying little things that are from it?
Well, look, I'm somebody, this will tell you how much I am into buying stuff that is sold to me. I have bought paintball tickets in the high street before from the bloke that's going, hey man, you look like you could play you'd be into paintball.
You're the only guy in the world that's done that.
Yeah, and I believe at the time I spent about £60 on about 20 paintball tickets. And then what I realised after that is that one, paintball is really difficult to organise with people.
Yep.
And two, to get 20 people to go paintballing is also quite difficult because you've got to be well into paintballing. I've been there, I've done it, and I've bought the paintball tickets.
Okay,
but I think also, to point it out, like, this is your, we sit in your house here recording this, and we haven't had to go to any lengths to gather things to adorn our table with or to set the background up, because this is just what your
this is all our shit.
This is just what your sort of rooms look like, and they are full of everything. I mean, if the camera would pan out and pan around even more, which maybe, you know, you can do one day, we would see all of these little extras. Trinkets. Inside DJ's living room.
Take a tour of DJ's house.
All the trinkets that you've got laid around.
It's like his own Keller Brimble's workshop.
It is, I mean, we had an excellent game of Top Trumps before we started, as we was waiting for Cal to get here today.
Which, I'm hoping, in the future, we just do that as an extra. We'll play Top Trumps, we'll maybe create a little bit of a league between us.
Okay.
Sure. Yep.
Get out of their life. Okay, well, look, that's fine. So, essentially, what you're admitting to here is that you're a massively impulsive buyer, and the merchandise, as Ash says, helps you engage with something you love on another couple levels.
But I won't buy any old shit. That's the other thing. Like, it's got to be good. It's got to be good quality. Like, it's not just like...
So your wife is over there, who's our producer for the day. Hi, Charlie. And she is shaking her head as if you...
It doesn't have to be good quality.
You will buy.
Right. Okay. But...
Not even going to defend yourself.
As I mentioned, this is a particular area that I'm quite excited about. And, you know, potential... pit of financial doom for me as well.
here comes another one. Yeah,
oh no!
All right, well, let's get into it then. What
yeah,
do we?
So,
what
so
are
look,
we...
yeah, I think where this came from as well is that previously, when especially when the films came out, not for me so much the Fellowship, but especially by the time we got to the Return of the King, there was some real high quality stuff and really cool stuff hitting the shelves. Mm-hmm. From all different areas of, like, from toys to clothing to artwork, then even like board game and stuff like that. So, what I wanted to do today is dig up some nostalgia from what we've all kind of experienced in the past, but also, yep, with that, look at what we've already seen and sort of preemptively have a look at what could potentially be hitting store shelves or even be on Amazon itself in terms of, like, what could I get? So what could be hitting your local Waterstones, and I think this is almost a given, is the re-release of the original trilogy in The Hobbit. So with that, usually what they've done, Harry Potter in the past, Hunger Games, different covers, hardbacks, paperback. With that, they'll probably chuck in a bonus limited edition map in there or something like that. So I think we'll just see a massive re-release of the original trilogy.
Where does the if I were to want to purchase that? Because I, like, when I hear that, I'm not trying to put a little dampener on your suggestion here, Deej. I've got a version of all those. Presumably, when they put new issues out,
yeah,
it's literally just for the people that are like, I need everything.
No, I think
I got to buy that too.
They're big collector's items. So you referenced my wife sat at the production desk at the moment. Like, we have about 3 or 4 copies of each of the Harry Potter books.
But yeah, so what,
because they're collector's items.
Right. Okay.
So
they'll just keep getting more and more.
Yeah, of course. Like, so they'll be the first time buyers, which you would hope are, you know, 12, 13, 14-year-old, 15-year-old teenagers that are reading Lord of the Rings at the same time they get a new copy of the book. But I think a lot of OG fans out there will probably just want to get the new trilogy or the new reprints just to be part of the collection.
Well, obviously that's not... like, there's no licensing for any of that stuff for Amazon, who are obviously a giant bookseller as well. You know, so they started out, right?
Oh, they got a finger in both pies.
Well, sort of, yeah. But I mean, that, the Tolkien estate would might be like, oh, and don't forget the rest of the series of books exists as well. But on they're bringing out the Fall of Numenor, aren't they? Which is its own standalone, yeah, new story.
That's, it's out already, isn't it?
Oh, is it out already? I thought it was coming out in September. I'm not sure.
I might be wrong as well.
Right. A little fact check for us over there.
The Fall, please, of Numenor, when does it come out?
Yeah. And I think that's maybe where the books are coming from, right? Mm. Where it's going to be like all maybe a few more different stories as well coming out alongside.
But what we're saying here, though, correct me if I'm wrong, Deej, is that if a reissue was to come out,
yeah,
that wouldn't be what's the word I'm looking for?
10th of November.
Fall of Numenor. Okay, fine, not quite then. So yeah, no, sorry. So if the reissues were to come out, that wouldn't be Amazon pushing anything because they don't have the rights. That would be the Tolkien like estate just piggybacking on the fact that, well, not this.
Yeah,
not piggybacking,
absolutely.
Taking the opportunity to go, oh, okay, let's cash in again on the fact that it's about to become the biggest thing in the world again.
Yeah, and I'd say with that, it naturally, I think, forever it will come in waves. So
yeah, of course,
like, there will always want to be that 10-year rebranding, refresh. So if you're saying that the book, The Fall of Numenor, is going to come out, that book will have a particular design. They might do a leather-bound version of it, or they might have gold engraving of the writing or stuff like that. They may just want to, for uniform purposes, just re-release the books in that same design and aesthetic. So that's where we could see that reprint. That's where we could see that sort of brand.
I wonder where the rights for that book are coming from, because... do you think I'd like to know whether The Fall of Numenor is being released as part of this deal that they've got from the Tolkien estate.
Don't know.
Or whether or not the Tolkien estate are saying, let's get another story out there,
yeah,
which is our complete own rights, and you know, just get a bit more cash in from this.
Yeah.
On top of the billion that we've
it's
taken.
It's a shame in a way that, in a fairly minor way, that they've done that. Because, like, anybody that's coming into the series purely as just like, I don't know anything, but I'm well excited by all these trailers. And then if you heard alongside it that a book called The Fall of Numenor is coming out, you'd go, it's a bit of a spoiler, considering I know nothing.
Mm.
You know. Do you know what I mean? Like we're blessed with the
knowledge and understanding.
The knowledge and understanding of, we know what happens in Numenor because we're just even like half obsessed fans. Like, if anybody did just catch the trailer and went, "Oh, I'm gonna watch that when that comes out," I don't know anything about Tolkien universe. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not having a go at anyone. It's just a bit like.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
How many Harry Potter fans read the books before they saw the films? I guess it's but I guess you're saying it's the other way around, isn't it? The it's hitting the screens and then you're releasing the book, and it's like, well, hold on, just.
I'm saying if you knew nothing about the universe and you turn on episode one and you learn that there's an island called Numenor, and then somewhere in the back of your mind you've heard, like, oh, I heard they're releasing a book as well called The Fall of Numenor. Right, okay, well, that sort of ruins.
Well, this will make way more people Lord of the Rings fans, won't it?
The show?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it will.
And what you're saying is all those people that are new fans just won't have any knowledge about the lore of Lord of the Rings.
Mm.
And that might ruin it. But I think we live in the age now where when you're a fan of something, all of the content alongside the actual show is part of watching the show now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, think about everything that happened. I don't know, even go back to like when Breaking Bad came out and just the online forums and, you know, all those.
That's one of the first shows that I can remember. Maybe my finger just wasn't on the pulse at all, but that's one of the first shows I can remember where there was like an after show to discuss it. And they'd have like three random celebrities on each.
That Talking Dead style.
Like, right, yeah.
Yeah.
It was one of the first where there was that. And I think now, basically, most big flagship shows have that or their equipment, don't they? Yeah. It's not a major point. I just think that, like...
No, I'm with you. If you're saying,
But what is interesting, I think you bring up there, is that Amazon have made this, okay? It might drag in a few more people into buying Prime, getting a Prime membership. Nobody's going to a cinema to pay to see this. And with every single film that is released, a lot of the money is made after the film has been released, and it's made through merchandise. So if the Tolkien estate are going, right, well, hold on, Amazon, you do the series. We don't really have to spend a penny there in sort of creating this.
Yeah,
we are just going to absolutely cash in on everything that's going to hit the high street, and the various stakeholders that Lord of the Rings already have that are pumping out, you know, collectible items. Like, this is a lot of where. The funding, I think, is going to go into the Tolkien estate instead, because they just see a massive opportunity here for it to be relevant again, for it to be in the front of people's minds, and for there to be an entire new fandom that's now going to sort of piggyback it as well.
Yep.
In a collection with the people that have already done that. So I think in terms of books as well, the other thing I've got written here is Harry Potter did it. They did the illustrated versions. Each book that they bought out, they did an illustrated version of that story. So they had an artist who basically, page for page, drew, you know, Quidditch, and then they drew, you know, Dumbledore arriving on Pivot Drive to, you know, deliver Harry to his parents, stuff like that. So these illustrated versions could come out. I think, like, got on the table here, we've got the encyclopedia and then we've got the annual as well. Some of the artwork that's in those books is absolutely incredible, and I think that is a big draw for me. If they release the Fellowship, I mean, it would be a massive, that it would be like a portfolio. Like, this thing would be huge. But if they could release the Fellowship or even the Two Towers or even Return of the King in an illustrated version with the original sort of text with it as well, that would be incredible. That you can see an artist's impression of what that story looks like. And I think, you know, with that as well, it really does sort of pay homage to the fictional ability of Tolkien, in that somebody could then go and create this incredible art based on what he's written.
Well, the illustrations, or I suppose even just like the sketches, have always been not a big deal, but an interesting bit, because a lot of Tolkien's own, essentially, like, scribbles have emerged. I've got a copy of The Hobbit where the front cover is his, literally, Tolkien's just doodled one day, Smaug and Bilbo and a Smaug sitting on a pile of gold. And they're a lot more almost cartoonish or very illustrative.
Right, okay.
Like, illustration, rather than, like, some of the fan work you see these days is, like, stunning,
you know,
really, like, genuinely realistic and stunning. I think it's more for The Hobbit that he did a lot of that, I don't think he did as many like just kind of doodles and stuff. But of course, the big deal is that slides into all that is the maps.
Yes.
Like, the maps are a huge thing.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see if there'll be, because they're adding obviously places that aren't lore. So like the Watchtower of Tir Harad that we know Arendir is kind of manning at the moment. Even something like, I don't know, I think a lot of the, maybe some of the smaller maps go into this level of detail, but something like Bronwyn's House,
yeah,
or Bronwyn's Apothecary, I think they're calling it, isn't on any Tolkien map, because right, this series has created that character. That
space, yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know if like they'll subsequently come out with like updated,
like an official Second Age map.
Yeah.
Or OP map.
And I imagine it's something that a lot of the Tolkienites and like people that are married to the films will completely shun.
Yeah.
But there'll be others that embrace both and go, oh, I got myself an Amazon Prime Second Age map.
Yeah.
And it will have a few other little areas on it.
And that is something we've generally found doing this. Like, we set out to wanting to have the Second Age map. Like, we've got it there. That's a printout. But it's very difficult to find an up-to-date Second Age map, which is accessible. Like, they, apart from this image here and a few others that are fan-made that you can find on Pinterest, there actually isn't many out there that do the Second Age map justice.
Well, I think they have to be careful as and when they actually release the licensed merchandise, of which there's obviously going to be so much, right? Because they, as Carol's alluding to, they'll end up just giving away massive parts of the storyline.
Yeah.
Whatever toys they are going to bring out. I mean, I've had a quick look. You don't know yet because they can't bring it out because they obviously want to be able, the first people that show it on the actual show, they want to be like, this is what this thing looks like. And then whatever comes in with the maps or the toys or whatever will come after they've shown it. So I think. I mean, obviously, like, you know, Christmas is right around the corner after the show, and we're going to have an absolute flood of merchandise to hit the Christmas season.
That's a good game. Each year it's like, oh, the pogo stick, the electric scooter.
Or the Christmas toy.
The Christmas toy.
Buzz Lightyear. Sold out.
The Christmas toy that this show will produce.
That this show will produce, yeah.
I suppose things that jump to mind are like, maybe Theo's sword.
Yeah.
That I could see that being quite a good thing. And you might even have a little button that you press and it extends out.
Recreates itself, reanimates itself, yeah. So, Christmas arms are going to hit the shelves. Okay, I've got two that I'd like to put to you that I think could be big sellers. Potentially stocking fillers. But two things that I think will be big this Christmas related to the Rings of Power.
Okay.
First of all, Hobbit feet. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
So
Hobbit slippers.
Think this, Hulk hands. Remember Hulk hands?
Yeah. Right?
Literally like boxing gloves that were like Hulk.
Yeah.
Smash them together and it was like Hulk smash. Like
did you have them?
I never had a pair of Hulk hands. No, I would love a pair.
Still.
So Hobbit feet that are like Hulk hands, where like perhaps when you're walking about.
I must point out there are no hobbits in the Rings of Power. You mean some half foot feet.
Right.
Half feet.
Yeah, some half
feet. Then call it half feet.
Okay, that's better.
ROP half feet, Rings of Power half feet. And the second one.
Can I just ask though? Is it a slipper? Is it just a foot you put on? It's like, oh, look, I've just got these feet on.
You know how Hulk hands were like a foam, sort of rubbery foam thing. I think you put them on. They're huge feet, and then they're
wasn't the idea
as you're walking about? They flop and they, you know, they're hairy. Perhaps the hair grows on them.
But wasn't the idea that with the Hulk hands that you and your mate get some and you
beat each other up?
Yeah. So the idea with these is,
that's mental, by the way. Hold on. So yeah, that was the purpose of Hulk hands, isn't it? What were they thinking? Like, let's just give these kids
encourage them to smack each other in the face.
Bit like
the, you're
like,
just talking about a pair of slippers.
I think you are. Dude,
yeah, so. But I think maybe there's something more to them. Like, you know how like baby born used to like, oh, now you've got to change his nappy. Like perhaps with the hot with
now
the,
now
the
you've got to clip feet. Now you've got to clip your half foot toenails.
What they grow. They're like a all the little cabbage patch kids, the little potato things that grow.
Yeah, it's like a Furby. You've actually got to take care of
it. So you reckon this year's Christmas toy?
If that happens, right, then I don't know. Like,
You heard it here first.
I'll give you £1 million.
Now the second one,
half a feet that you have to tend yourself.
Now the second one, which I think, when you think about it as an item, it could be quite cool. So you see a lot of jewellery.
By the way, sorry to jump back in. You said they were stocking fillers.
Right, it'd be a big stocking, wouldn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Stop yeah, that! It's almost
a, yeah. A comment on like
there you go. Just hang that up.
Yeah.
Two massive feet inside.
How big was your stocking this year? Well, I got half feet in mine.
Half feet.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other one now, which I think could be a little bit more sort of like I hate using this term, but bougie.
Ooh.
If you will. You see a lot of jewellery, especially women's jewellery these days, which are kind of shaped like elven ears. Like you get them sort of earrings that you put on, and they turn them into like I've seen them. Like it might be on Etsy and stuff like that. Elven ear pods. Okay. So right.
No.
Hear me
I'm
out.
I'm with him.
Hear me out.
What, I'm as an official yeah, release?
So earpod goes in, and then from down the bottom of the earpod, it goes up around the ear, and then gives your ears a little point.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that would be a big seller. I think that would be a big seller, especially for the youth of today.
Difficult, though, because you're crossing over now with Apple and Amazon.
Yeah.
So what's the Amazon equivalent of the...
I mean, it would just be like an insert.
Ear dots of ear dots, elven ear dots.
You're really
elven ear dots.
Could go for that, but that.
Can I ask in your design here, in your mind's eye, the elven ear bit of it is that the same material as the thing? So is it like a white thing that comes all the way around, or is it actually sort of flesh coloured and makes you look like it's built into the sort of fleshy prosthetic?
I think it would have to be the white, wouldn't it? It would just have to be something.
See, I'm out. I want it to actually.
Yeah, or maybe you could get like a sort of a nude coloured.
Right. Yeah.
Earpod, I guess. Yeah.
Nude elf ear dots.
So there are two stocking fillers. Christmas present stocking fillers that I think could come. Now you heard it here first. Imagine if one of them. I'll tell you what.
Well, we know someone's ripping us off if they do. No one else would have thought of them.
So next one now. This isn't so much about the thing itself, but what I would like to talk to you both about is when you previously owned one of these things and the trials and tribulations that you went through whilst owning one.
Okay.
So, sticker books, okay? all of us growing up had a sticker book. I looked online.
Many.
A Lord of the Rings Fellowship of the Rings sticker book, a Merlin sticker book, goes for about a fiver at the moment. You can literally get one. But I don't know how much the stickers go for. So if you can buy like one of them newsagent packs of stickers that come with 100 different sort of wallets of stickers in them. But Merlin sticker book. Or a Panini sticker book, but I don't know if Panini.
See, I'm a Panini man.
You were a Panini.
I'm a Panini boy.
Well, that was because of the football.
I don't know if they're more sports based, but I do think I did look on the website and they got a few Marvel bits in there and stuff like that. So it does look like they do branch out to sort of multimedia as well. It's not just sport, but yeah, sticker books. Did you own one? And immediately, what comes to mind when you think about like putting that sticker on that numbered little tile.
Yes, I owned one. I've owned many, I think, through my childhood. Mostly when big international football tournaments rolled round.
Yeah.
So I can remember having maybe a World Cup 98 one.
Yeah.
I reckon
that
I...
That was France, wasn't it?
With France 98.
Yeah, the groovy chicken France, on the front.
Yeah.
Groovy chicken?
That was the logo, yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of like, I can remember it being a big point of, it was like a transactional thing at school.
Yeah.
So I definitely like was locked into like my, I was like, right, I know this whole break time is going to be about me getting this deal done with other guy in my class.
Yeah.
And I had some swoops at times. I can remember giving away like one and getting four back and being like, I've won that deal.
Did you ever have it nicked? Like, did you ever have an entire collection just get stolen off you?
No.
You had a pack of stickers that just somehow disappeared. Like, you put it in your locker at lunch.
No, I think I lived through the era of all those type of trading games, Pokemon being the big one, where that was going on in school. They were all banned. You weren't allowed to bring in your stickers and stuff to school.
Why? Why do schools feel the need to ban that?
People were going around the changing rooms pilfering people's pockets.
It was creating like a crime scene.
It was a syndicate. It was bad.
Yeah.
For me, like it wasn't big in school.
Didn't get sucked in.
Well, it was very big until it was brought down by the authorities.
That was a weird thing. Like the next sort of big fad came along, like Yu-Gi-Oh cards, or now it's Pokemon cards, or like oh, people have now started bringing their Game Boys back into school and playing Pokemon Blue.
Yo-yos.
Yo-yos. But you knew the moment, like more than 10 people started bringing it in, you're like,
oh, it's a fad.
This
it's is, a fad this, here. This There's is, a fad.
This is oh, this the next got movement. A time stamp on it. It's got a timestamp on it.
The next movement. They're going to cut on.
Teachers going to cut on. They're going to have a meeting. They're going to sit in the staff room. And in a week's time, we're going to have an assembly where headmaster's going to stand up and say, yeah, look,
he's a band.
We're banning them.
Yeah. I'll tell you when that happened the quickest. Don't know about you guys, but in my middle school, Diablo's caught on for a little while. So
everyone was
in the playground flicking these things.
It was more safety, they
were landing, they were landing on people. They're right to ban those.
Did you have a Tamagotchi?
Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
Good. Yes. Got to keep one alive. Got to feed it.
Yeah, baby aliens as well was the other one. Remember, like it was like you can get them to reproduce if you put two together, and like people would weirdly be like,
no,
it
never worked.
Yeah,
I remember with Tamagotchis, it was plain sailing. I think we'd even almost had like a little summit in the playground as a year group. I'm like, listen, everyone, right? If we want to keep this alive, everyone needs to be smart keep about how they use that. Keep it clean, people.
Yeah.
Okay, the teachers don't see it.
Yeah,
no, we even like which considering we were like seven at the time, quite impressive that we organised ourselves into a little 7 year old.
Yeah,
at break time. But it all went kaput when one boy turned on his calculator and it made a little like beep beep.
Right,
like because it was just a calculator turning on, and the teacher was like, "Yeah, Tamagotchi, they're all banned." And it was like, We were doing so well. Yeah. It wasn't even a Tamagotchi that got us.
There were some sick Tamagotchis at the time. I know both of you were not massive Digimon fans, but Digimon released.
I wasn't a fan at all.
Digimon released a Digidex that you would walk along with, and then as you walked, you were like exploring the digital world, and then you would encounter like other Digimon, and then with that, you'd also then be able to sort of like upgrade your Digimon, which was quite cool. Just on the sort of comment of Tamagotchis there.
Okay.
Right, we've moved quite.
We moved off sticker books, but yeah, let's get back to sticker books. So, one thing for me, especially with sticker books, which was like good practice, was of course when you're laying your stickers in, keep it within the tile, keep it within the square, be very sort of precise about where your corners are going.
Are you suggesting that there is going to be a Rings of Power sticker book?
I think we can only hope.
Well, as we know, this is a show for all the family.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it isn't in the realms of ridiculous for this to be a thing. And what I want to know as a tertiary question: will you be purchasing the Rings of Power sticker book?
Look, I think if it does get released, I think that we should make a promise now that we will get that sticker book, and over the seasons, we will try and complete it. I think that's got to be a little sort of mission initiative that we have as a podcast and as a show that are trying to sort of, do the Rings of Power.
I'm in.
Credit.
I'm completely in. Yeah. If it's there, I'm buying it and I'm going to fill it.
Because what?
Start to finish.
I mean,
packs of stickers though are like £4 a tile.
Yeah, they're like Freddos, aren't they? Like Freddo used to be like 20p, less than that probably.
That's how they get you. The sticker book comes free with like this week's Telegraph, but then like the sticker packets where you get 9 stickers are £4 each, and you get like 3 repeats.
Well, look, we did
sorry
right
to
at the beginning
to shit all over sticker books.
So, are you?
I'm out with that idea. Sorry,
you're not gonna okay.
No, sorry, I just don't want to financially take my life back there. I remember my mum's face when
maybe your mum will buy some
whenever
stickers.
Maybe my mum will buy me some, but I remember having a sticker book, and whenever I made the request of mum coming buy me stickers, her being like, why has it got to be into this one right now? This is really pricey. But buy them, come on.
That was a lovely moment though, wasn't it? When like your mum or your dad would go to the supermarket and then they'd surprise you when they got back with a little couple of packs of stickers. And you go, yes, boy! And then you'd spend... Yeah, sick. Well, imagine that. Because I think that's what we will do. We'll bring families back together in a way that
I reckon I'd like to speak to your mum and your dad about that. I reckon they actually use that like almost like a dog treat at times with you.
So just to round off sticker books, we mentioned the sort of like bit of keeping to the corners, you know, being really sort of precise. Did anybody ever accidentally put a sticker in and then just accidentally jogged the page, like slipped the page as they've done it, and then left almost a little fold or crease in the page?
Yeah,
like,
of course.
That's
I've not even done that, mate. I've put them in the wrong whole area.
Oh yeah.
And been like, well, I might just consider throwing this whole thing away.
Yeah.
Because that is mumps down the drain.
Yeah.
But I think like, in the end, I just really carefully peeled it back millimeter by millimeter. And went and convinced myself that's all right.
Yeah.
Shame, because it, you know, it's pristine up to that point. But
yep,
you're right. There's, you know, you've got to be careful putting those stickers down.
And I think there is an important feeling behind completing a sticker book. There's an important feeling behind it that
every boy should know.
And also,
every
child's experience with that is different. Like, not everyone is always left waiting for that same sticker.
Have you ever completed a sticker book as an adult?
No.
This could be your first.
This could be the first, yeah. Well, not true.
You guys did the World Cup.
We didn't complete it. We started it, yeah. We never got through that.
We didn't
even scrape the surface.
No.
Like, we didn't.
Okay, good. Well, good luck to you.
We'd definitely try that. And it'd be interesting to see who the foils are as well, like them shinier stickers. Like, who are the foils? Like, you know, what scenes are the foils?
Yeah.
Which then actually leads us nicely into here, because I think a lot of those key moments, key scenes, will actually probably be part of what we're about to talk about now, which is a few years ago, you know, our block building friends at Lego were able to start making Lego sets to do with Lord of the Rings. We have one sat right in front of us there. That's Hobbiton.
Yes, we do.
I think that's Bilbo's.
Brilliant, that, by the way. Really brilliant.
It's where the dwarves arrive at Bilbo's house for the dinner. That survived the house move and stuff like that. So there are a few bits missing, but the sheer quality of it and the sheer quality of the Lego sets that are being released, like, now, are absolutely incredible. And I think what's quite cool about the Lego sets, and this is just from seeing them and how Marvel have used them in particular, Marvel Studios actually use the Lego sets quite a lot of time as a red herring. Ooh. So they will put together a Lego set. So an example of this is like for Spider-Man, they would have put a scene together with their Lego set for Spider-Man, and they'll include a character like the Scorpion, for instance, way before the movie release in that Lego set. So they'll create a scene with that movie sort of cast, but they'll throw a character in that doesn't exist in the film or isn't in the film of any significance at all. So, like, I mean, if they really, they probably start releasing these sets now if that's what they were trying to do, and they were trying to chuck a few red herrings in as to locations or scenes or particular moments in the film that might happen. But with that, what Lego sets, if they do get the rights to doing the Rings of Power in Lego, based on what we've already seen within the trailers and the small little sort of TV spots, what do you think immediately will come to your mind if you were to do, if there was to be a Lego set released? Like, what would be the one that you'd say would almost instantly be out on the shelf?
I don't profess to be any sort of Lego expert or indeed connoisseur. However, maybe you can tell me, Dij, if it works this way or not.
Yeah.
But like cities of Numenor, like that are built into like the rock and the mountain, like that.
You get the Lego architecture sets, right? Like you'll do like the CN Tower,
yeah,
or something like that. Yeah, okay. So yeah, could be thrown in there.
Yeah.
You get I actually bought my brother for his birthday last year. I bought him like a Boba Fett helmet. So they're like, they are sort of actually like display pieces.
Made out of Lego.
Made out of Lego. You don't wear it, no. So it's on a stand. It comes with like a decorative stand. It's like BB-8. BB-8 up there. But it's like a display piece. So you could have a few different helmets. You could have a few different sort of like Numenorean warrior helmets or the head dwarf, of Sauron.
Dwarf axe.
Yeah, you could have...
Dwarf axe out of Lego would be quite good.
Yeah, that'd be quite cool. Yeah, so you could have a few bits like that maybe that are more sort of display decorative pieces. But in terms of like scenes and in terms of what like, you know, what Lego sets will be released.
Yeah.
For me, I think one that they'll do is so we've seen the Harfoots they're quite nomadic, aren't they? They move around.
They
have carriages and stuff like that. So you could have like a parade of carriages that the Harfoots are, you know, are walking around, and then you make the carriages and you make the Harfoot carriages in sort of like a bit of a parade sort of thing. That could be something.
Yeah. About a couple boats from the Numenorean fleet.
Yeah, so then beautiful looking swan boats, like making them out of Lego. Like, yeah, as you say, the Numenorean fleet would be really cool. I think, you know,
it must be very cool as an actor to suddenly like be the bit of Lego. Oh, that's me.
Yeah, it's cool. That's really cool, isn't it? Yeah.
So Googling this, it doesn't look like that Hasbro have yet acquired the sort of toy line for the Rings of Power, which I think at the moment would probably be, you know, the toy company to pick it up, just because they're the biggest.
When I think classic TV toy,
yeah,
Hasbro is what I'm thinking of.
Hasbro is what you're thinking of, yeah. And with that, like, they have Star Wars. They have.
Oh, they'll get it then.
Maybe
they've got it, and we just don't know yet.
We just don't know yet.
Just waiting for how will things play out.
Which
we need way more Aaron Deere toys than we do Elendil toys.
Which there is a really interesting
impression of the man at the top of Hasbro.
Yeah, there's a real interesting sort of thing that's happened with Hasbro recently as well, is that they've acquired a lot of board games, and with that tabletop games, which we'll kind of go on to in a second. But I think if Hasbro did acquire the Rings of Power, we'd see a brand new line of Nerf. So you'd see a load of Nerf guns hit the shelf, which would be Lord of the Rings sort of themed, Rings of Power themed. You'd have bows, arrows. We've seen it before already. You know, shields and swords, we'd see that. We wouldn't necessarily see like the Nerf gun style design, but we'd see something that's a little bit more Lord of the Rings. Talking about stockings, stocking fillers and Christmas, you'd see those mascots. So for instance, Harry Potter, it was Dobby. Everybody had the Dobby cuddly toy. You had Niffler with Fantastic Beasts. Baby Groot, Guardians of the Galaxy, BB-8, Porg, Ewok, R2-D2. That sort of show mascot. That, you know, is released en masse and becomes that.
All of those.
I own the majority. But yeah, those really iconic, sort of cutesy characters. Whether or not we'll get that with this.
Lenny Henry?
It could be. But no, what I was thinking, we've spoken a lot about... We've spoken a lot about orcs. It could be a baby orc. Because if we are seeing female orcs... you could see a small baby orc that's literally wrapped up in like a cloth.
No.
And you could go, oh, that's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
No.
Think about the things that are on this list. Dobby. Yeah. He's not the cutest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah, but there isn't baby orcs. They don't exist.
What do you mean? Well, hold on. Let's talk about that. How do you become an adult orc?
I don't even care. I don't think there will be any baby orcs in this show.
Okay. We'll agree to disagree.
Well, hey, look, I would love that. Like, yeah. let's make a bet right now, dudes. Do you think there will be?
I think. Well, I've used as an example as to what that show mascot could be.
Okay, fine.
And you know, we are seeing a big overhaul of what the orcs have been in the past.
Yeah.
It could be an interesting little bit of lore if we do see a baby orc, and then yeah, it could be that also that thing where thousands are going, oh my god, how cute is that baby orc? And then all of a sudden, you know, everyone's got like an orc baby orc pop figure. Which pop figures, by the way, they're gonna be huge for this. There's gonna be a load of limited edition pop figures that hit the shelves as well.
Okay.
So you'll get into any sort of like merchandise store or stuff like that, and there'll be an entire Rings of Power section of pop figures. I love pop figures. I think they're brilliant. I mean, they're basically just bobbleheads. You know, he's sat there.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're gonna see a brand new sort of release of a load of pop figures as well, I think.
Okay.
And talking about Hasbro. Have any of you seen in the past, like, you know, this was another sort of idea I had in relation to Harfy and Elven Earpods, but a dwarf beard, okay? So, hear me out, right? What? You know, like, in the past, like, you've seen, like, braiding sort of, like, you can buy, like, for little girls, they'll buy, like, a braiding sort of the machine where they put, like, three bits of their hair in. And then you twist it, or you pull the trigger and it braids your hair. Like, I can't remember what they're called, like whatever they're called. But you could see that sort of thing for a dwarf beard. Like, you could get a beard and then you could braid and sort of like design the beard in the way that you want it. So it's customizable.
What are you talking about?
Just a little thing, hey, that I thought.
I think you are. we are moving into cloud cuckoo land with your ideas.
Okay, so. That's just no one out there. Now, mashups. There's one mashup I'd love to see in particular, and I know that they've done it before. It is Hasbro that have this line of toy, and I think if they acquired the Rings of Power, what they could do, which would be quite cool, is a mashup between Rings of Powers and Transformers. Okay?
No.
Hear me out.
Nope.
Wouldn't happen.
Hear me out.
No, wouldn't
so, No, I'll tell you the one that I'd be like, if that was just like a limited edition release, they released it for a Comic-Con, it was a one of a kind sort of item.
They already have to walk such a narrow tightrope in terms of not like pissing off or going too far away from the lore.
You are talking one of the last bastions of not selling itself to every company that comes along. That's literally what the Tolkien estate.
Well, they don't sell themselves to Hasbro, but what I'd love to see, if that happened, that limited edition item, the thing I'd love to see is an Eye of Sauron. So the Eye of Sauron that could then transfer into Sauron as robot form.
Okay, but yeah, as Carl just said, the Eye of Sauron is not in this part of the universe.
But it would be relevant if Sauron is in the show. Surely it ends with him becoming the Eye of Sauron, doesn't it? If Sauron's in the show, doesn't he then become the Eye of Sauron?
Look, Deej, you're asking me questions I don't know the answers to, but what I do know is that ain't happening. That ain't happening.
Well, anyway, I know that they've already got the Unicron.
I don't even know a mashup. That's the first time I've even heard of that. Well, so like, things do that, do they?
There was a line of Star Wars Transformers release. There was. So it's like, you know, R2-D2 would then transform into a robot form of R2-D2.
And what did you want? You wanted the Eye of Sauron to turn into
the Eye of Sauron to then transform into Sauron.
Okay. Right.
Which they have, because they have Unicron, which is a planet transformer that turns into a transformer. Okay. So they could just use
the technology's
that
there, is it?
Cool. Design's there.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's move on.
With that, Hasbro this year have also acquired Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
So a big thing that they took on was Wizards of the Coast, and now the supplier and designer of all the new Dungeons & Dragons sets that are being released.
Big move.
I haven't found yet an official Lord of the Rings D&D set. Like, it must be out there, but if I literally can't find it. I've typed it in, can't find it. But what I did find was a sort of homebrew D&D mechanic for Lord of the Rings. So essentially the Dungeon Master sits and becomes the Eye of Sauron, and with that, when the characters do something bad, you take corruption, basically. And then as the game develops, you become more corrupt. It's based on dice rolls and stuff like that, which is really cool. So, because Hasbro have that, if they were to acquire the Rings of Power, what could be quite cool is that we see a new D&D sort of set that's released.
See, that I can see. That I can see.
Rings of Power related.
Yeah.
Now, with that, there's a few classics from the past as well. So I can imagine seeing us a new Monopoly set with all of the different new locations in them boxes. Top Trumps.
Yeah. Great.
We were playing the game earlier.
Always good, yeah.
Now, what was cool about a set of Top Trumps they released after the trilogy was they started putting in locations into the game stats. So there was cards that were particular locations. So it was like you could play the card of Helm's Deep in these like limited edition packs. And what would also be quite cool is if they used the same stat blocks that are in the three Fellowship, Two Towers, and Return of the King Top Trumps. So you could mix them all in together. So, like, that was one thing you could do with these sets, was that you could play them all together in, like, a 90-card set, because they all had the same stat blocks and were sort of rated in the same way.
Yep.
So, like, it could be quite cool if you have that, and then, like, you know, if you do own the older sets, you can start mixing them in, stuff like that. A new Risk. Be quite cool. Lord of the Rings Risk.
Yeah.
Big favourite ours as well, Catan. An ROP Catan. Like, definitely see that happening. Like, you know, we've played Seafarers with having islands and stuff. You could have Numenor, you could have, you know,
like that. That'd be quite cool. Interested in that, actually.
Yeah, that would be wicked. And then with that, a sort of Lord of the Rings of Power mechanic in there that, you know, is like, oh, well, instead of the robber, you've got a tribe of orcs or something. That'd be quite cool. Like, mm-hmm. You know, it's just quite an easy sort of game design that you can, game mechanic that you can sort of flip over. It'd be nice to see a new chess set. So having a Rings of Power chess set, last chess set.
Like, there is a dearth of the original chess sets in the world. Yeah. Thank God for the new Rings of Power.
New chess sets.
So, like, you know, who in this is the queen? Who is the king? So I think the queen would probably be Galadriel, wouldn't it? The king would be
Tamriel, maybe.
Yeah, you know, and then through that you can then start piecing out the characters outwards from there. Who would the pawns be? One side.
Orcs.
Other side.
Half-foots.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, definitely. You could see that happening. Seeing a new sort of ROP chess set would be quite cool. Yep. You know, like, it does make sense. Like, Lord of the Rings have released it before. And one thing I'd love to see, so one thing that's on the top of my list of things that I'd love to see be re sort of, maybe a real big push again.
I think there's so many things at the top of your list.
The one is, this one is
Warhammer. Is this one actually the top?
Yeah. It's the Warhammer. So
get me in.
You know, like, I think, especially during COVID, during lockdown,
Warhammer took off.
There was a big outlet of people that returning to Warhammer because it is such a therapeutic, time-consuming thing to do. Like, you put them, you piece the things together yourselves, you paint them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us never get around to playing. So look, I think we've got to a point now where we've spoken about nearly everything that I particularly am excited about. And I think with that, I hope there's a few things there that you're excited about as well.
You really have sparked my excitement, yeah.
Yeah, because I can see
myself purchasing a few Rings of Power inspired bits of merchandise.
Great.
Because I think, look, like, it's potentially something that can get lost as well. Like, I don't think we've necessarily seen the level of merchandise hit the shelves in the last few years that we have, and I think that's because, you know, we're in an online digital world and that's where we find it all. But just going back to physical things that you can hold in your hands would be really quite cool, and not just having sort of video games and stuff like that. Of course, we love them, and of course, we'll definitely go and play them, but something a little bit more sort of like, you know, hands-on that we can enjoy as well. And with that, you know, add to the collector's items that we have from the previous release of films and stuff like that. That's essentially my episode on merchandise, and I think with that we may sort of stumble back on a few things and we'll pick up a few things in future episodes. But thank you for entertaining the conversation today, gentlemen.
Very, very interesting. Yes, so it will be very, very interesting to see what kind of catches the zeitgeist in terms of the merchandise.
Absolutely, and look,
you've got it'll all start pouring out soon, won't it?
Yeah,
you won't be able to find a shop without something on it. You know,
if you're listening and you have your own ideas, and as ridiculous and as sort of brilliant as they are, get them to us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, or with that, just drop us an email on the mathsauron.pod@gmail.com. Because I want to hear them more than anything. Like, just shout us out online and let us know what you're thinking. Because I think, you know, there's an endless amount of possibilities here that we can see hit the shelves. And any weird, wonderful, brilliant ideas you have, share the love, let us know. As for that, thank you for speaking with me today about this, and thank you for listening. We'll see you again next time around. Thank you very much. Mouth is the mouth of Sauron, of the Jordans of power.